shackled by a heavy burden. Neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. I met this blessed Savior. Since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole.
Something happened.
Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole.
Welcome to Cowboy Church. It is good to be amongst God's people tonight. We have a bit of a special service tonight. We're going to start it off in a little different way. Normally, I would start with reading scripture and a bit of a prayer. It won't be too much different. But we did have a meeting this past Wednesday night, the members of the Cowboy Church. And the vote of the membership was to call Ken and Annette Stumpf as our pastoral couple. And after the meeting was over, Sylvia and I gave them a phone call. And lo and behold, they accepted. So, praise God. We have a new pastor of the Cowboy Church. We are opening a new chapter in the life of the Cowboy Church. And we'd like to start it off in prayer. And so I'm going to call up the board members that are here tonight. Unfortunately, Marika is still recovering from hip surgery and she can't be with us tonight. Although I know she'd love to be. But the board members that are here, I'm going to call them up, and I'm going to call Pastor Ken Stumpf and his wife Annette up, please. And we're going to pray for them. And Lauren is going to bring up a microphone so that we can all be heard, those that want to pray. We didn't warn her beforehand, so we had to make her make an extra trip.
That's okay. I just want to get 10,000.
Yes, come, please, Ken, Annette. You're center stage here. You got to get used to being center stage around here for a while. You guys, come on,
okay.
Come on,
up. Okay.
Got it.
Here we
Praise
go.
Praise God.
Okay, I can use this mic because it's close. Father God, Lord, I thank you for your provision.
Yes,
God, when we had to let Pastor Orban go. Because this church just didn't have the funds to pay him the full pastor's salary that we were paying him. Lord, we expected We expected a period of lean picking spiritually. Lord, we were determined to go on as a body called to be a church. And Lord, we are going to marshal our resources, and we are going to hang on and continue to do your work, Lord, without a shepherd at the helm. And we were resolved to do that, Lord, but you had other plans. And I thank you so much, God, that you had other plans. I thank you, God, for the heart for ministry that you've given to Ken and Annette Stumpf. I thank you, God, that they are a ministry team. I thank you, Lord, even that you have that we are in this season of their life, Lord, when with retirement income they can live off a little less, and they have said, you know what, we'd like to minister at the Cowboy Church. We see a people who need guidance. We see a flock that needs a shepherd, and we would love to shepherd this flock. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I thank you that they can do that for us. I thank you, God, that they are here to do that, and God, that they accepted that call. And I pray, God, that you would help us as their flock, Lord, not to be as the sheep, not to be too annoying. You know, as a sheep we can be annoying, and Lord, we can be hard to deal with. And I pray, God, that you would help us all to come along behind Ken and Nanette, to support them and to love on them and to bless them, Lord. I pray, God, that your Spirit work in this body, and that, Lord, we would see an increase, Lord, an increase in your power, an increase in our obedience, Lord, an increase in the numbers that come through that door to be ministered to, Lord. I pray that you would see an increase in faithfulness in your people here. I thank you, God, that you can answer all of these prayers, and that, Lord, that your Spirit empowers everything that we do. And Lord, for you, nothing is impossible. Amen. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, as our God and as our Savior.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we bring Annette and Pastor Ken to you humbly. It wasn't by accident that he came into our midst, Lord, because you have a plan for everything. It doesn't matter what happens in our life, Lord. You have a plan for it. You have a plan for your church. And we lift this church up to you now. And we pray that you will fill Annette and Ken with the Holy Spirit, that they may guide and teach us into all truth through the power of the Holy Spirit. So thank you again, Jesus. You are our Lord and Savior, and we love you. And I pray this in your precious name, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, if you're here tonight and you're just visiting, maybe this is your first time, I just want to give a little introduction about who I am. Tonight we're looking at who is Jesus and his qualifications. So tonight I just want to introduce myself. I came to the Lord, my wife and I, and we came to the Lord back in 1972 when there was a move of God in the 70s. We committed our lives to the Lord as a young married couple. And I served the Lord today as enthusiastically as the day he found me and picked me up and set me on high ground. And so in 1991, being a businessman and came out of the business world, 1991, we went into full-time ministry. And I think there's only a few states that I haven't been in the United States. We lived in England and Germany, so I've ministered all over the world in a lot of different situations. Down in Georgia, you have Baptist churches that'll hold 12, 15,000 people, so I've preached to that size, and I preached to 10 and 12. Don't matter to me. Long as God is there. That's the key. And then the words for me at the end of a day after I preached, I just want to hear the words of my loving Heavenly Father, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." To me, that's the key. So both Annette and I are ordained pastors. We hold our credentials. I'm also registered, of course, with the Alberta government, that you can officiate marriage. So I've taken a lot of courses over the years. I'm competing with somebody's song. So the courses that I've taken over the years, I worked with the RCMP for quite a few years in victim services. You're trained by the Attorney General's office. And what our job was when there was a suicide or a sudden death or a wreck on the highway, we would go with the officers to the home and look after the need and the shock. And that would happen in the home, and you would have to advise the parents, I'm sorry to advise you, your son was killed on Highway 16 last night. And so I did that for many years as pastoring at the same time. Also, I've also taken a lot of courses in grief counseling. And the other one that I just took recently was what came out of COVID-19, the side effects of mental health. And it's an epidemic. To this day, there's still families not talking. There's broken relationships. There are seniors who were locked in their rooms for 3 months at a time. And the mental health situation right now across Canada, probably around the world, there's such a need there. And I really felt impressed that I needed to be equipped in my position to handle situations like that if it arose. But most of all, I am here because God wants me here. God has put a calling on my life. And I desire to preach with His anointing and His equipping. And my word, my prayer is, come Holy Spirit, as only You can. Touch these fable lips. Give me clarity of mind. And the words that I speak that will go forth and bear fruit, fruit that will last for eternity. That is why I'm here. And I just want to say tonight, thank you for allowing me to stand behind this pulpit. And I take it as an awesome responsibility that when I stand here that I declare God's word with authority and conviction and a clarity, and I can proclaim all of God's word from Genesis to Revelation and everything in between. That is what we are called to do. In saying that, I'm going to continue where I started last week, was who is Jesus? I remember when we were living in London, England, this was back in 1991, there was a course called the Alpha Course. It hadn't come to North America yet. And we were looking for a follow-up that was had a depth to it that would help individuals on their new walk as Christians. So we went to Holy Trinity Brompton, the Anglican church just down from Harrods, and he said, I don't know if God can move in these Englishmen, He can move anywhere. They're pretty stiff. We walked in there that night in that Anglican church, and the place was packed out, and they were having their alpha meal, and then they had praise and worship. It was a phenomenal, phenomenal thing that happened there. The presence of the Holy Spirit was so strong. I said, you know what? If that can work here in England and in Anglican church, it can work anywhere. It was an amazing thing, and after that, it went all over the world. I shared with Jamie tonight, I had the opportunity, not that many years ago, the maximum security here at Fort Saskatchewan, the jail, invited me to come in and present the Alpha Course to the leadership within the jail, the warden, and all the social workers, so that they would have a tool that the inmates that got out would stop the recycling. They would go, come in, go out, get caught, come in, go out, that they would get grounded on God's word. But if you haven't been to jail, and I won't ask for a show of hands of you that have been, when you go through three lockdowns and you don't have the keys to get out, it's a sobering experience as the inmates come in their orange khakis and slip-ons and they only allow so many in a room at a time because of security reasons. And also, the guards, in most cases, are harder than the inmates, and they need to hear the word of Jesus sometimes more than the inmates. But tonight we're going to pick up where we left off last week. If you weren't here, if you were here, I pray that you made notes. If you don't have something to write on your neighbor's arm. And you definitely won't forget the message. But in order to do that, I want you to stand for reading of God's word, if you'd please do that now. Taken from John chapter 11, which we concluded with last week. And Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection, the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes me will never, ever die. Do you believe this?" Lord, tonight we come before you and we say we believe. Jesus, you are who you say you are. And Lord, I pray for open hearts in this place. Stir us tonight, God. Put a hunger in our hearts for you, Lord, like we've never, ever had it before. Because, Lord, you said in the end days would be perilous times. And if you didn't shorten those days, even the elect would be deceived. God, not one of us in this place will be deceived. So now, Lord, we commit this time into your hands. In your precious name I pray, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Jesus said he had the authority to decide where we would spend eternity. That's quite a statement. When someone can say to you, "I'll decide where you spend eternity." You know, if I as a pastor came to you and said, "You know what, I can decide where you would spend eternity by how you treat me. You know, if you take me out to headquarters once a week for liver and onions, make sure I have all the Timmy cards I need, I can make sure that you're going to a better place." You would say, "You are a liar, Pastor." And you're right. I am. But Jesus said these words, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever believes me lives even though he dies." Those words came from Jesus. He has the authority. He has the authority. So tonight we're going to open God's word as Jesus speaks about himself. We're going to go to Matthew now. If you'd please turn your Bibles to Matthew 25. Tonight, I'm preaching from the New Living Standard. It was the Bible that ended up in my hands this week. I usually have about four or five of them at hand, but this week I'm going to look at the New Living Standard. Matthew 25. We're going to pick up on verse 31, and the heading is "The Final Judgment." Sobering thought. The Final Judgment. And this is what Jesus said. If you have a Bible and it's in the red, it's Jesus speaking. And this is what Jesus said. "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left hand." Jesus said that he would separate the sheep from the goats. Now let's just for a moment, just work with me for a moment here. I'm going to look at three things. First of all, if Jesus said these words, was he telling the truth? The questions were they untrue what Jesus said? Or maybe Jesus wasn't stable. Maybe he had mental issues to make a statement like that. Or thirdly, is Jesus who he said he is? Is he who he says he is? That is the question we need to ask ourselves. Is he who he said he is? In verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. Wow. God, Jesus, went to prepare a place for you. Do you believe that? You know, this year we have had a lot of individuals experience homecoming, even in our circle of friends, but internationally. Dr. Dobson. MacArthur. Dr. MacArthur. Jamie Swaggart. Max Solbrecken. A lot of names that have been around that have had ministry for years, God called them home. And what are they experiencing right now? That place that Jesus prepared for them. But those of us here tonight, we are left behind here yet, and we're still in the race. We are not coming here on Friday nights to just take up space and say, what did Grace prepare on the other side of that wall? I'm telling you here, we're here for greater reasons than that. I feel when I get behind this pulpit, I am to light you up. And when you leave this place, there should be a spark inside of you. And for next Friday, you'll say, I can't wait to get back to that place. Because I sense the presence of Jesus in there. And if you haven't sensed him, I pray you'll sense his presence before you leave here tonight. As we continue to read, verse 35, for I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. For just a moment, I want you to think about those things. For just a moment. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. You know, the Bible says that you can invite some people in and it could be actually angels unaware. When was the last time you invited somebody into your home? I'm not beating you up here. It's okay. I just want you to just think about it. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. When was the last time you visited somebody in the hospital? Come on now. Work with me. I was in prison and you visited me. When I was in prison, did you come to see me? No, that wasn't me. Have you ever been to prison? No, I mean visiting. In the movies. We were ministering down in Mexico, and they wanted us to go in and do a service inside the prison. I didn't think prisons existed like that anymore. It's like the old Western movies with a great big padlock like that on the gate and guards walking around on the outside with guns. And they said in order to go in, we had to strip. They searched us for drugs. It's a very humbling experience, let me tell you. And then they said, you make sure you take off your wedding ring. You've got to take off your wedding ring, or they'll try to steal it. They'll cut off your finger. Well, my ring hadn't been off for 40 years. I tell you, I used every lubricant I could find. I was licking on that thing. I finally got it off, but part of my knuckle went with it. But you walk in there, dirt floors. I'll tell you, it was hell, a hellhole on earth. If you want to visit a prison, come with me to Mexico. I'll take you. Don and Jamie, they bring their guitars. And again, they only allow so many in the room with you because they're afraid that they will riot. But I'll tell you, there are inmates in there who love Jesus. Some of them will never, ever see the outside of that prison again. But in their hearts, they're free. In fact, in some cases, they're freer than we are on the outside. Because they know their only hope is in Jesus Christ and what He did for them. They're free. I was in prison and you visited me. Then those righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did you ever see? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? Now you're sitting here thinking, now, how can that be? You know what? We as followers of Jesus Christ, we respond without even thinking about it because Jesus lives in us. Did you know that good character produces good works, not good works producing character? Let me repeat that. If you need to write this down tonight, write it down. Good character produces good works. Good works does not produce character. You have to have a godly character, and out of there will come good works. It will be an automatic flow from who you are. And unfortunately, today we're living in a world on YouTube, as soon as somebody does something good, it's got to be all over. Wow! Why do you need recognition? We don't need recognition. Jesus didn't need recognition when He did good. And when He did, they wanted to make Him a king. It should be a natural flow from who we are because of our love for Jesus. We don't need to be stroked. We don't need to be patted and say, that was really good of you to do that. Thank you for taking that potluck meal over to the individual who was sick. The Bible, in fact, says you, the right hand shouldn't even know what the left hand's doing. That is the quality of a Christian. Let's continue on. Verse 40, and the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did one of the at least of these, my brothers and sisters, you are doing it for me. It's your reward. Jesus is keeping track. Someday the books will be opened. I don't know about you, but I just want to make sure my name is in the book. I want my name in the book of life. Verse 41, then the king will return to those on the left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. Whoa. That's a little strong, isn't it, Jesus? Unfortunately, today we're living in a time when many pulpits will never, ever mention the word hell. I'm sorry to say that's true. Because someone might be offended. The politically correct would say you can't say things like that. I didn't say it. Jesus did. Can I read it to you one more time? The king will turn to those on his left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his demons. The other day I was chatting with a pastor, and I was surprised what he said. You know what he said? Hell isn't eternal. Like, what? Can you run that by me again? Yeah, I said, a loving God wouldn't have hell for eternal. It would, at some point, stop. Well, I don't know. Maybe my English isn't that good. But I know what eternity is, and eternal means forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. It's forever. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? Did you notice here the question by the righteous is the same as on the unrighteous? But it's the attitude of the unrighteous. They were so busy living their own lifestyle and taking selfies, they had no time for those in need. We are living in a self-centered world today. Am I wrong with making that statement? It's all about me. It's about what I want, how I'm treated, how everything that it's about me. So they didn't even notice these things were going on. And he will answer, I tell you the truth. When you refused, you can underline refused, to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. God, I pray that we'll be found among the righteous. And when a need presents itself, you know, I told you this story about the Jew and the washing machine. I got another one. We met a Jew yesterday. Annette and I are really into Jews right now, I'm telling you. And we just, this one was, Annette was purchasing something my name came up again. And only a Jew will recognize that Ken means yes in Hebrew. And she picked up on that too. And I said, are you a Jew? She said, yes. But she says, I can't let anybody know where I work or where we associate with, that I'm a Jew. it's too dangerous in Edmonton. You know, I have on my ring here, Annette got this for me in Israel, and it says, I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. That's what Solomon wrote. And I said to her, can you read this in Hebrew? And she said, well, my Hebrew isn't good, but my children know Hebrew. They could read it. But we talked about her homeland, and she says, it beats in my heart, my home, Israel, Jerusalem. I said, I know that feeling. I didn't want to leave. I was home. But I said to her, as I said to the Jewish gentleman that repaired our washing machine, actually the end of the story, repairing the washing machine costs us $100 more than a new one. You know what? I don't care. I don't care. Genesis 12:3 says, I'll bless those that bless my people and I'll curse those that curse my people. I'm telling you, every Jew I find, I'm going to hug them and do everything I can. Because Jesus was a Jew. That's the roots. And we are grafted to the vine as Gentiles. I don't care what the world makes them out to be. They said, well, Jesus was black or he was a Philistine or a Palestinian. No, he was a Jew. Just check his genealogy. A Jew. In verse 46, and they will go away into eternal punishment. But the righteous will go into, wow, don't you just get excited? I'm telling you guys. You know, if I said today I can give you a free trip and it's all paid, straight to the Bahamas. Well, wouldn't you just get a little excited? I'm telling you, the righteous are going to heaven. We are heaven bound. On the night of May the 26th, 1996, a great tragedy occurred in Houston, Texas. Corey Lee Taylor, her husband, and her two grandchildren were awakened by a fire. In panic, they fled the burning house. All four escaped safely. But the 58-year-old grandmother didn't see that her husband had rescued the grandchildren. And this is only what a grandmother would do. She sacrificially did what any grandmother would do for her grandchildren. She ran back into the flames to rescue the grandchild she believed was still in the house. True story. Tragically, Coralie Taylor died searching for the child that had been rescued. We have a similar tragedy today when people try to do what Jesus has already done for us. Jesus rescued us. He gave his life as a sacrificial lamb that we would have life eternally. I know already we heard about it today about Charlie Kirk. A 31-year-old young man who was standing for the Lord and standing against evil on the campuses across North America and around the world. He would engage young people about their lifestyles. And to think a 22-year-old young man would assassinate Charlie Kirk because he didn't agree with Charlie's Christian principles. Charlie Kirk said, "Jesus defeated death so you can live." And another quote of his is, "You can tell a lot about a person how they act when someone dies." Are we known for our compassion? Jesus died on that cross, and that gospel message went all over the world. And for Charlie Kirk, his death, as horrific as it is, there's a movement now happening on the university campuses and the college campuses because of his death. When you die to yourself, something's going to happen. When the President of the United States, not getting into what you think about Trump, that is not my point. The fact is that he flew that personal jet of his down to pick up Charlie Kirk in Utah to fly him back to his home in Arizona. And escorted by the Vice President and his wife of the United States of America, walked with that grieving wife down the tarmac. I'm talking leadership here. And I say to you today, where were we as Canadians? Did you hear any boo? Did any of our leadership pray for Charlie Kirk and his family? If they did, I apologize because I didn't hear it. We as Canada have turned our back on God, and there's going to be a reckoning for this, guys. That's not a threat. That's not rhetoric. It's because our country has grown cold to the things of God. "But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear their cry, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal our land." God, we need a healing. We're desperate. I found myself this morning as I was working on this message, and I picked up some of the songs that were being sung about Charlie Kirk. And I found myself in my bedroom on my knees crying out to God. God, we need you. We desperately need you. Many of our churches across Canada are closing. Our hearts have grown cold to the things of God. But there's good news. Jesus is on the throne. In fact, God is on the throne and Jesus is his right hand interceding on our behalf. So this isn't the end of the story. This is only the beginning. And my prayer, and Annette and I and the board for this body of believers, is that we're going to go into the harvest fields in the days ahead, hand in hand. It's harvest time. Just like I phoned my kids this week, and I always phoned, "It's Dad. How's harvesting going?" "Dad, we're half done. We go as late as we can into the night till we start falling asleep in the combine." I pray that we'll catch the vision for the harvest And may we go flat out just like a farmer's doing right now. Give it everything you have. I believe in the days ahead for every one of us here tonight, hearing this message, God is going to bring someone into your life in the next few days. And it's going to be your test, not mine. It'll be your test. Are you going to give a cup of water in the name of the Lord? I pray that you'll respond the way Jesus would expect you to respond. Is that a fair challenge? Give a cup of water in the name of the Lord. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord's countenance be upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Shalom. God bless you. Thank you for coming.
Loving God, loving each other, making music with my friends. Loving God, loving each other. And the story never ends. They pushed back from the table to listen to his words. Secret plan before he had to go. It's not complicated, don't need a lot of rules. This is all you'll need to know. Loving God, loving each other. Making music with my friends. Loving God, loving each other, and the tend to make it harder, build steeples out of stone, fill books with explanations of the way. But if we stop and listen and break a little bread, the Master say, loving God, loving each other, making music with my friends, loving God. Loving each other, and the story never ends.
I'd like us all to sing that chorus one more time. But God said in the scriptures to love our Lord and Savior with all our heart, mind, and soul, and love our neighbor as ourselves. If we could just stand up to sing that last verse one more time. Grab your neighbor's hand and hold on as we sing this last verse.
Loving God, loving each other, making music with my friends. Loving God, loving each other, and the story never ends, and the story never ends. Know the story.